LinkedIn for Business. Novità, consigli e strategie per rendere profittevole la tua attività su LinkedIn. A cura di Leonardo Bellini.
So hello everybody and welcome to this new podcast show about LinkedIn for Business. Today we have a special guest directly from New Zealand, Lynair Johnston. Also, I make an applause and thank you for first of all, thank you Lynair for accepting my invitation. So just, I mean, I would like to ask you to introduce yourself. So if you like, would like to say something personal about you, it could be nice.
Sure. Well, as you know, I'm a New Zealander. I was born in New Zealand and have lived here all my life. But New Zealand is a very long way away from Italy and from anywhere else in the world. So we feel very fortunate to be out of the line of fire about what's going on with COVID-19. But for me personally, I've had a lot of different jobs in my life, but I've always written. And so I enjoy writing about different companies and about different aspects of life. I love writing for LinkedIn. But my major passion in life, Leonardo, is that I really enjoy gardening. I created recently a garden from scratch, and I'm really much enjoying being able to get out and spend time in it to watch my plants grow, particularly when we are not able to see so many people at this time of the year. So the two things in my life that are very important to me are my work and my gardening, and my family, of course.
Okay, thank you very much. Quite original. And I understand why sometimes you talk about plants and you create some, comparison between maybe cultivating prospects or customers or readers and plants as well.
So, that's quite good, isn't it, for that? Yes.
Yeah. What time did you discover LinkedIn, Lynair? How, well, and why did you initially start using it, for instance?
So, sure. When I first started on LinkedIn back in 2008, it was really somewhere that we just put our CV, our profile. We didn't really do much more with it than that. So it wasn't really until about 2015 that I discovered that it had a news feed like Facebook, and that you could contribute to LinkedIn. Yeah. And you could talk about writing, or you, in my case, you could talk about your business. You could talk about anything on LinkedIn, and it was a level playing field. In other words, everybody had the same abilities or offering or opportunities as anyone else. And so whether you were well known or you weren't, you could still be seen and heard on the platform. And that, for me, was a game changer, because as a writer, that fed right into my hands. It gave me the opportunity then to be able to write about it. And as I learned more about LinkedIn and the opportunities it provided, I became more and more enthused. And at that stage, I was a copywriter and writing mostly websites and content for people online for their websites. And when I started to realize how good LinkedIn was at providing opportunities, helping people to network, I started to focus more on how that could be used and started to collect clients who were interested in how to be able to achieve their professional goals using LinkedIn. And from there, it just mushroomed out. Now I'm the author of two books, and I'm seen as someone who knows a little bit about LinkedIn, which I thoroughly enjoy, because it means I can help lots of people to use LinkedIn better.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your answer, Lynair. You already answered to my third question. So which are your personal professional goals about LinkedIn? You said already something about that. If you want to add something else, you're welcome, of course.
So my goal, I think...
Yeah.
My goal, I think, is really to help more people. I really want to make it possible for anybody who is either working for a company and wants to change job or industry, or for someone who has their own business, to be able to use LinkedIn effectively. Because there are a lot of things that people can do to do that, but they often don't know what they are and they don't know what's the best for them to do. And some people can get just completely confused about how much there is. And every time LinkedIn brings out a new feature or upgrades an earlier one, it just becomes more complicated for people. So if people haven't been on the platform for a while and they go back to visit, they have no idea where anything is. The whole look of it's changed. There's functions they've got no idea what to do with. And it just makes things very difficult. So my role, as I see it, is to help those people to understand LinkedIn and get more from it.
Yeah, and just to accomplish your goal, you wrote two books, Linnea. The first one is Linkability, and the second one is co-authored with Michelle Raymond, Business Gold. Let's start speaking about your first book, Linkability. In your book, you describe mainly four linkability strategies for using LinkedIn in a correct, effective, and I would add ethical way. So, for instance, speaking about connecting, that is one of your strategies that you describe in your book. I would like to ask you, which are the wrong or the right ways to build and extend your network on LinkedIn, of course?
One of the wrong ways is just to be collecting connections for the sake of it. The right way is to connect with people you honestly want to get to know and you think add value to your network. Last year, LinkedIn reduced the number of connections that you could send invites to every week, down to 100. Before, it had been completely open. You could have sent as many as you like, and a lot of people did, and often without messages or accompanying messages. So if you want someone to actually say yes when you invite them to connect, you need to write a personal message so that people know that you have taken the time to look at their profile and find out something about them and give a reason for wanting to connect, because otherwise, what's the point? You're just collecting numbers for numbers' sake, and just a big network on its own isn't going to guarantee you success. What will guarantee you success is having a strong network of people who know you, who will read your content, who will interact with you and your content, will attend your events, and will recommend you to other people. And that's what I often find, is that my LinkedIn connections come to me because they've seen me on LinkedIn or heard somebody else talk about me on LinkedIn. So I think the main thing to do when connecting with people is to send a personalized message. It's a bit more fiddly. You've got to go to an extra couple of steps, but it does make all the difference. And if you've only got 100 a week that you can invites that you can send, and that you do want to use those, then you need to use them wisely and use them well.
Yeah. Perfectly said. I totally agree with you, Linnea. So not only the quality is better than quantity, but also the approach, how you approach with personalization, with caring, showing attention, showing you have studied the person before you can connect it or you can message it. And another point about your book, let's start speaking about publishing. That is one of the big points or issues maybe for beginners. What should I write on LinkedIn? How often, and so on? LinkedIn in last month has introduced the content creator mode option. What is your opinion about that? Is it for everyone, or would you advise it only to some people?
All right, let me start with the first question, what to write about. And you should write about what you know. because the idea of publishing on LinkedIn is to be visible and to enhance your credibility. So writing about the things that you know about is important for both of those things. As to the question of how often, it's important to be on LinkedIn consistently. Regularly and frequently is good as well, but consistently is the main thing. So if you have, if you can devote one post a week or time to produce one good quality post a week, that is more important than writing three or four poor quality ones. So put again, it comes back to the quality over quantity. After all, this is your professional reputation on the line, and you want people to see you in the best possible light. So make sure that your posts are well constructed, they're what your audience wants to read, and that they don't contain mistakes. I think that's something that's really important. Much more difficult, I think, if you're writing bilingually. I couldn't write a single sentence in Italian and get it correct, but I'm very fortunate I only have to write in English, and even that's hard enough. So do get make sure your posts are well written and that they don't contain errors. Now, as far as content creator is concerned, it is something that is not for everyone. The first thing that content creator does is that it displays how many followers you have. So if your network is quite small and that's not something that you want to be advertised, then creator is not for you. It's also not for you if you're not producing content, because what it does do, it places a lot more emphasis on content and your activity. So in the past, in your activity section, viewers to your profile would have seen that you were commenting on other people's posts, and they would also be seeing posts that you liked. Now they're seeing the posts that you create. So that's a big difference. And they might not see the posts that are most recent. In fact, I know they don't see the posts that are necessarily the most recent, certainly not in any kind of chronological order. And so when you go to somebody's profile, you can see posts from quite some time back, which means then that consistency over time is important as well. So what Creator Mode does is that it reorders your profile. And one thing about it I do like is that it makes your featured section more prominent. So it brings it higher up in the feed. And that is a good thing if you have a lot of material there, because the thumbnails in the featured section are nice and big. They're colourful, they're visual, they catch people's eyes. Now, people don't read as much as they used to. They read in bite-sized pieces. And so having something that is visual, that grabs attention, is very important. And so I like the featured section. I like it being higher in my profile because it gives me an opportunity then to display some of my posts, some of my articles, links to podcasts, whatever else that it might happen to be. It can sit there in the featured section and showcase the my skills and perhaps my books as well. So I would say that content creator is definitely not for everyone, but it is a good thing to turn on definitely if you are producing content posts on a regular basis.
Thank you very much, Linnea. It's correct. And I the last question about your first book, Linkability Book. Another of your strategies that you talk about in your book is about engaging. So again, I would like to ask you, which is the best way or attitude to approach maybe a prospect, a potential client, a customer on LinkedIn? Also, according to LinkedIn policy, without spamming or pushing too much. So,
yes, I very strongly believe in ethical behavior on LinkedIn, and all of the strategies that I promote or I talk about come from ethical values. And I think it's important to be aware that other people don't share those values necessarily and will do things differently. But my attitude to LinkedIn is to treat other people in the way that I too would want to be treated. And in the same way that that I would if I was meeting someone face to face, because my name is still out there, my photo is still out there, my reputation is out there. And so it is a very good idea for me to behave in a way that I see as something that is part of my own personal values. So when you are approaching other people, you need to do that in an ethical way. And that means not spamming them. That means not sending them lots of sales material, either via direct message or on your post, because I think that that is a very, very quick way to get people to turn off and to say they don't want to do business with you. Because ultimately, the aim is to build trust. And because we do business with people that we know, like, and trust, LinkedIn is ideal for that. But if you are going to engage with people, do it in a personal way. Use people's names. Make it look like you have looked at their profile. Don't send them a message asking for their email address when it's clearly on their profile in a dozen different places. Make it look like you've done your homework. Ask them about themselves and how they're doing and what's happening in their lives. Strike up a business relationship in the same way as you would if you were meeting somebody face to face. So one of the important ways to engage, of course, is direct messaging. But another one that works very well too, and people don't often consider to be a strategy, is commenting on people's posts. Now, if you've got a client that, or a potential client, a prospect that you want to work with, who posts on a regular basis, if you add good, well-written and value-added comments to their posts on a regular basis, they're going to take notice and they're going to see you. They'll look at you, they'll view your profile. And when they need somebody who has the services that you offer or the products, you are the person who is going to be top of mind. And that allows them to follow you, to see your material on a more regular basis. So my two strategies for engagement are on people's posts and directly through messaging.
Thank you very much, Linnea. So let's see that when you engage with a comment, a post of someone else, you are giving your time, your attention, your kindness, and maybe it's the best way to build our trust, our reputation, and our personal brand, let's say. In the last 12 months, Linnea, LinkedIn has introduced a lot of new features. There are still new features that LinkedIn is rolling out. Indeed, not all successful. I'm thinking about stories, for instance. So which are your favorite ones, your favorite features that you are have appreciated much and you are going to suggest to your students, to your customers?
Certainly. The one that appeals to me most is one that a lot of people don't know about, and that is the 5-star reviews. Now, it's not as prominent as some of the others, like the 30-second cover video, which you see on people's profiles behind their photo. But I like the 5-star reviews, which sits very nice and neatly in the providing services section. And if you are a person or a business who provides services, this is really important, I believe, to have in place, because every now and again, and quite regularly, LinkedIn is improving this section. So just in the last week, for example, providing services now has an area where you can add media. Now, initially, that's only images, but there will be video and links later on, I'm certain about it. So this is going to give us two areas of our profile that we can showcase what we do, how we help people, and the results they're going to get. But 5-star reviews I particularly like because they are short. So people write only 350 characters about you. You can only have 20 of them, which means that you need to be selective about the clients that you ask to write a review for you. But they sit there in a lovely big long line and make you look really good. And I like the way they display and just down the page nice and simply, because they're also at the top of a profile, whereas recommendations, which are very similar but not quite the same, sit at the bottom of your profile. So if, like mine, your profile is quite long, people have got a long way to go to get down to your recommendations. Right. And you can't shift it. You can't move it higher, which I think is unfortunate. So I think the 5-star reviews, for my money, that is the best feature of 2021.
Thank you very much, Linnea. I think that is not so known, it's not so well known. So your advice is a very good one. I have read your post about 1 week ago about the new media section in the services description. Unfortunately, in Italy, it hasn't rolled out yet. I mean, in my case, I couldn't add anything, but I think it's a good thing to know that you can also, I will have this option also, I think, in Italy in a short time. And speaking about other features, I'm thinking about newsletters. I'm thinking about audio events. That is the new shiny thing in LinkedIn. You have seen a lot of test experiments, events. In Italy, it's not possible again to create an audio event yet.
I think it's still in beta testing at this stage. Yeah. Where are we? The end of January. So I think it's still being beta tested. I'm sure it's not far away.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think, for instance, about video streaming in your profile? So live video.
Well, I think it's an extension of what we're already seeing. It's an extension of LinkedIn Live. So I haven't done a lot of research into this because yet I don't have it either. My understanding is that it allows, the main key difference is that it allows interaction. At the moment, if you're running an event on LinkedIn Live, the only interaction you can get is through the comments. Well, this will allow people to be on a screen like we are in a meeting. And to be able to interact. It will be, as I understand it, like Clubhouse, where people raise their hand and can go on stage to speak. So I quite like the whole aspect of that. I do think, too, that I did hear they are intending to make it native, which means that you won't need to do it through a third-party streaming service. Like at the moment, if you're doing a LinkedIn Live, the common ones to use seems to be StreamYard. So it will apparently be a lot easier.
You need to
I like that. Yeah, anything that makes technology easier, I'm keen on, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Speaking about business goal book, Linnea, if you want to describe a little bit this book that is more about LinkedIn pages, and speaking about LinkedIn page strategies, which strategies would you suggest to a LinkedIn page administrator to create and build and nurture a community of page followers? Which are, in your opinion, the must-have ingredients of your recipe about LinkedIn page
for content? LinkedIn pages, yes. So Business Gold is the world's first book dedicated to LinkedIn company pages. And we're very pleased that it's become a bestseller. It's also changed the narrative because a lot of people publicly said they thought pages were a waste of time. Now, LinkedIn has put a lot of effort and continues to put a lot of effort into expanding pages, making them more easily accessible, making them easier to use, adding functionality to them, and also, I believe, making them more visible. And there are a number of ways that they are doing that. But I believe that, for a company to make an impact with its company page, it needs to have two things. It needs to have a really good profile in the sense that you have a very good filled out, completed profile for a person. You also need to have that for your page. So that means a good banner, a nice logo, a good tagline, all the information, including the about section, all there and ready to go. So that people, when people visit the page, they know instantly what you do. And they then can find out more about you. They can easily visit your past events. They can look at your posts. So the other side of that particular equation is that you need to be posting regularly. So posting not just on your personal profile, but posting on your page as well. And sometimes people ask me, how do you differentiate? How do you separate the two?
Yeah, yeah.
And my answer to that is that if you are writing from your profile, then you should be talking more about your experience and your opinion. But if you are talking about from your company page, then you can talk about the industry that you're in and industry news and company news. I think it's important too to realize that companies or company pages with big followings do best. It's a bit like having a good network for your personal profile. So little by little, you can increase your page follower numbers. You can do that by sending 100 invites per month.
Yeah.
Now, quite why it's 100 per month for pages and 100 per week for people, I'm not certain. But the downside of inviting people to your page on LinkedIn is that you can't send a message. In effect, there is no messaging facility from your page to people directly. But however, I do believe that they are going to change that. I cannot see how that can be allowed to continue if you're wanting people to be able to interact with you and you want to be able to build up pages. Now, LinkedIn is putting a lot of money into pages because that's where the advertising revenue is going to come.
Yeah.
People can promote their posts. They can advertise on their pages, but you can't do that from your profiles, a bit like Facebook. So I think that that is where they see the future of the revenue for themselves. And let's not forget that LinkedIn wants to become the Amazon of the B2B marketplace. So they're putting in place all kinds of things to make it easier for you and I to do business directly. And so we don't have to actually even move off the platform in order to be able to do business together. So I think that there's some really important changes coming to pages that will make it more usable, more useful for companies in different ways. And one of those, of course, is newsletters. We've already got personal newsletters, but Michelle J. Raymond, who's my co-author on this book, says that they are going to be doing rolling out newsletters for companies quite soon. That too is in beta testing at the moment, and because they already have those on personal profiles, I imagine that's not far away. And so I'm looking forward to that because I think that that is an excellent way to brand your company rather than yourself personally. So the sooner the better, in my view, for newsletters for pages. I'm very keen on that. Yesterday I heard that that LinkedIn is now making it more difficult for people who claim to work for a company but who do not to be either removed or not allowed to be able to say that they work for a company. At this point, you and I could both say we work for Amazon or Microsoft or Google without any problem whatsoever, where in fact that's not ever been a good thing to do, firstly, but it's not been a good thing for LinkedIn to allow. So I think changing that is a very important thing. And I mentioned that LinkedIn wants to allow people to be able to do business together inside the platform. And they're also taking that a step further and allowing companies to be able to set up what is in effect their own intranet within LinkedIn so that team members can see what each other are posting, what they're up to, different updates, that kind of thing. And I like that idea that it can all happen within the platform. And of course, the longer people stay on the platform, the more money LinkedIn makes. And so everybody is happy. So you can quite see why that would be something that they would want to do. And it all gathers everybody in a professional sense around the whole LinkedIn platform, which I think works works quite nicely too. So in terms of strategies for businesses on their company pages, make sure that everything's up and correct. Make sure that you're posting on a regular basis and providing value, just like you do in your own personal post. Don't just promote. And also to make sure that you have a decent sized network or network of followers. So increase every month your followers and make sure you invite all those 100 people and any extras that you can claw back by people saying yes.
Thank you very much, Linnea. You talked many points about LinkedIn page creation and, let's say, evolution. We are arrived to the final part of this interview. So this is the final stage. We'd like to know something about your vision about LinkedIn, your next projects. So how is your vision about LinkedIn evolution? What are your predictions for this coming year, for this 2022? And another question that is correlated to that one, what has significantly changed in LinkedIn due to pandemic situation? So I think about the behavior of people and also LinkedIn users.
I predict for 2022 that LinkedIn will continue to clamp down on behavior that doesn't conform or adhere to its terms and conditions. So that's fake profiles, for example. Okay. And that's people spamming, sending out a lot of unwanted material to people. I've already moved toward to cut down the number of AI generated invites by making everybody only allowed 100 a week. And I think we'll see more of that. And more punishment for people who are who don't abide by the rules. So I think that's something that will happen this year, because in the certainly early stages of the pandemic, and now we're 2 years into this, there was a huge uptake of LinkedIn by many, many people. And LinkedIn saw a lot of growth. Now, not all of that is necessarily good, and not all of those people who suddenly became LinkedIn members would see the platform as something where you build relationships. They would see it as just another vehicle for being able to peddle their wares, and understandably, because it is a very good platform to do that, but most people don't like that. So I think that we will see more and more people turned off by that kind of behavior. LinkedIn generally is a very benign platform when you compare it to some of the others, for example, Twitter. And I think that's because people can't hide. They are, in most cases, who they say they are. They have their genuine photo. They are genuinely on the platform as themselves, not hiding behind a pseudonym or an avatar. I think that makes a difference. So people are more careful about what it is they do. And so I think LinkedIn is much more self-policing because of that. I think that the AI question is going to become more of a difficulty for LinkedIn as technology becomes cleverer. People will try to use more automation when it comes to LinkedIn, and they have a very long-standing policy that if you use automation on LinkedIn, then you will be kicked off. So you do need to be careful, and that's one of the warnings I would advise is people just to make sure they know what the rules are and to abide by those. Now, in terms of other predictions, I believe that we will see the full rollout of interactive audio and video. LinkedIn, towards the end of last year, did a big update of how our profiles look and with some new functionality in and around those. And I think so that's the second year in succession that they did that in about November. Rollouts can take 2 to 3 months to occur, so some people still are waiting for that. But I think we might see that again happened towards the end of the year. But I did hear a prediction the other day that has had me thinking, and I quite like this. Now, whether it will come true, I have no idea. But Mark Williams, Mr. LinkedIn, on his LinkedIn Form podcast, said that he thought that LinkedIn would introduce three separate news feeds. And we would see different kinds of content on each one. Now, I found that a fascinating idea because at the moment we've really got two news feeds. We've got one that's on our desktop and the one that's on our mobile. And surprisingly, you see quite different content in both of those. And so the idea of having streams or news feeds that are dedicated to particular types of content, say video, for example, I think is really interesting, whether or not that's going to just put more pressure on people to work across multiple media. I don't know, but I like that as a concept. Is that something that you have heard about and that might appeal? Do you think people would enjoy something like that?
I think so. I also have heard about these options or possibility of evolution. Also, I had read Mark Williams' podcast that is speaking about that. Really, I wouldn't know if I think it could be a good choice to personalize and to contaminate maybe with some multimedia video and creating multiple feeds and so on. And I would like to know something about, if you like, your next projects, next plan. Maybe you are thinking about a new book or maybe something that could be interesting for our listener. Some events you're going to attend next month, or maybe some projects or something about your students, your customers that you are willing to share with us.
Sure. Well, my main project this year is to write edition two of my book, Linkability. Okay. I wrote that a year and a half ago. And so it's time, with the speed that LinkedIn moves, it's a good idea to update that, I think, this year. So that was my major plan in terms of writing. I wonder whether I should have it translated into Italian. That's not something I've thought about before, but
I could be a candidate. I could be to help you to find someone maybe better than I in speaking English and understanding to translate better than I could be. But anyway, I am one of these.
That's very kind of you. I launched last year a member site. So for people who are serious about LinkedIn, I have a monthly member site where people can have access to my content. I build a community around that and I do group coaching. So I'm intending to put that onto a new platform this year and to make that more accessible to people. And the thing I'm most pleased about is that last year we've had lots of success with our webinars. We do a free monthly webinar about a different aspect of LinkedIn each month. And we're going to be continuing with those because there is so much that happens on LinkedIn that it's a good place to be able to combine all that information and help people to see what's happening on LinkedIn, find out different ways to be able to use the platform for their own professional goals, and to be able to help them with the technical side of that. So we're going to be continuing those this year, and we're starting the first of those on February the 10th. So those are the three things that I'm going to be working on mainly this year. But one of the things I love most about LinkedIn is that there are opportunities. People just come up with opportunities, ideas, suggestions completely out of the blue that you might not have considered before. And so I'm always interested to see what is going to happen, who's going to come out of the woodwork, going to show up on LinkedIn and say, why don't you and I have a look at doing this? And I can think, well, that's a great idea. That's not something I could have managed on my own or considered doing. So that's one of the things that makes LinkedIn my favorite platform, is just the opportunities that come from having very good, strong relationships with people that you meet on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I agree with you, and also I wish all the best for your next projects, and I am looking forward to reading the new edition of your linkability book.
Send you a personal copy.
Oh, thank you very much. You're very young and kind about that. Linnea, last question is what I called the missing question. So what question would you have liked to be asked to you from my side, and which I didn't ask you so far?
All right. So I think
make a question and say an answer.
All right. Okay. So the question is, what's the most important thing that anybody needs to do to be successful on LinkedIn?
Okay. Very good question.
All right. And so the answer to that is to have a really strong profile, because a profile underpins everything that you do on LinkedIn, and things like your headline and your photo, which appear on your profile, follow you around. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, people can see those. So it's really important to have an eye-catching banner, to have a professional photo, and to have a headline that tells people who you are and what you do and how you can help. Now, the other aspects or areas of profiles, the about section, your experience, your education, and your recommendations are all really important. And now that LinkedIn has changed the view of profiles, a lot of areas in a profile that were relatively well hidden, like accomplishments, now have a lot more space. And so there is, again, a lot more opportunity to share with people what it is that you do and how you can help and what makes you different from others. So the answer to my question, what's the most important thing anybody can do on LinkedIn, is to have a very good, compelling, complete, eye-catching profile.
Thank you very much, Linnea. So start from your profile, could be the last claim of this interview. You don't know yet, but you have won a journey to Tuscany for your next summer, Linnea. So if you want to come by to and visit my hometown, Florence, and the countryside, Chianti, so you are invited. I hope I will
guest you. I would love to come. I've never been to Florence, and I had a client in Florence last year. And she just raved about it, so I'd love to come.
Okay, thank you. I hope we can meet personally face-to-face in Florence maybe next month. So thanks again a lot for this interview. I think also my listeners will appreciate sorry for my English, it's not so, it's a little bit rusty, I'm not so
used. English is very good.
Oh, thank you very much. I will say to my old English teacher of when I was a child.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and your questions have been spot on. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Linnea. See you soon. And thank you to all our listeners. And also you can follow Linnea, obviously, on LinkedIn. You can buy her books. You can find them on Amazon. On Amazon, you can also read my book review of Linnea's book. In Italian, in Amazon.it. So thank you very much again, and have a wonderful year.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Linnea. Thank you very
much. Bye-bye.